Welcome to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic on today's edition of One to Another.
This is the principle of the harvest. He says, then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. What did I tell you a minute ago? If you tap into God's principles, if you understand them and obey them, what happens? It produces blessings. Full barns are a blessing. Full vats are a blessing. Paul said it like this to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. The point is this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap or harvest sparingly. The person who sows generously will also reap or harvest generously.
What are you sowing into the kingdom of God? Today you learn from Pastor Pete's message the importance of the harvest. Scripture talks frequently about the power of the harvest principle. It explains that what you sow into the fields, you will reap. You can apply this to every aspect of your life. Pastor Pete urges you to reflect upon your relationships, tithing, and businesses. What are you sowing into these? And are they yielding a fruitful crop? What are you sowing for the Lord? And is it fruitful? If you'd like to connect with Pastor Pete or help support this program, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Now let's join Pastor Pete in the book of Leviticus chapter 19 as he begins part one of his message, The Power of Principles.
287 BC, something very incredible and special happened on the other side of the world in Greece. In 287 BC, the most famous mathematician Greece has ever produced was born. His name was Archimedes. If you ever took a basic physics class or studied world history back in high school, or for some of you younger folk, maybe you went to the movie theater and you saw Indiana Jones in 2023, The Dial of Destiny, you got introduced to Archimedes. We don't know for certain, but it's believed that in his mid-teens, he got on a boat and he went to a place called Alexandria. And Alexandria was famous because it had the largest library in the world at the time, a massive library. It's believed Archimedes studied there for a number of years before going back to Syracuse, Italy. Now, Syracuse is a part of Italy now, but it was actually a part of Greece then. Greece kind of owned that whole portion of real estate over in that part of the world when Archimedes was alive. In fact, they owned it until 212 BC when the Romans came over and said, we want it. And they laid siege to Syracuse. And they were able to hold on for a while in Syracuse, mostly because of Archimedes. He was an inventor and he invented all kinds of war machines and different things that helped them fight against the Romans. They didn't defeat them. The Romans finally got in, they finally took over, and they actually killed Archimedes in the battle when Syracuse fell. Archimedes is best known today for what you probably studied in school about him, and that is his principle of hydrostatic. Y'all remember that? I asked a young man to help me. Would you come up here real quick? Now, we didn't set this up. I didn't tell him what I was going to do. Nothing. I just asked if he would help. All right. Tell everybody your name.
My name is Noah.
Noah, what a great name. Can y'all give Noah a round of applause? Noah, have you, you know a lot about Archimedes' principle of hydrostaticness?
No.
No. Okay. Well, that's okay. Let me ask you this. Do you know what makes things sink or float?
Boats can float.
Boats can float. That's a good thing. But if we played a game of sink or float, you think you could guess what will sink or what will float? For example, and I know the people on the radio can't see this, so we'll try to describe it. Here in my hands, I have a...
rock.
A pebble.
A pebble.
It's a rock. You're not wrong, but it's a pebble. It's super small, isn't it? In fact, this rock is so small, I put it on a postal scale this morning, and I measured it. It weighs less than 0.1 ounce. It's tiny. Do you think if I dropped this rock into this bucket of water, it will sink or float?
Sink.
You think it'll sink? What do y'all think? You think Noah's right? All right, say amen if you think he's right. All right, let's try it. Come over here, Noah. I want you to watch it real close because you're going to have to tell everybody what happens. Ready? Tell them what happened.
It sunk.
So you were right. It sunk. And you didn't even know anything about Archimedes' principle, did you? All right, now you said boats can float. What do I have here?
A boat.
A boat, that's right. Do y'all know humans just built the biggest boat ever called the Icon of the Seas? The Icon of the Seas is a massive cruise ship. It's not even in service yet, but they're testing it right now, make sure it floats. That's one of the things they want to make sure before they put a bunch of people on it. But this thing is massive. Over 250,000 tons. A quarter of a million tons. And they're going to put that thing on water. They already have to make sure it floats. This boat right here weighs over 150 times more than that pebble. Okay? Do you think it's going to sink or float?
Float.
You think it's going to float. You ready? Y'all think it's going to float? Put it in there. What did it do?
Float.
It floats. What's this?
A football.
A Nerf football, isn't it? Okay, you want to test it, make sure that's what it is? Mm-hmm. Now this is over 500 times heavier than that pebble. And it's a lot bigger. Do you think it's going to sink or float?
Float.
What do y'all think? Going to sink or float? Float. Float. All right, ready? They can probably see this one.
It floated.
It floated. Can you go get that ball? All right. What do you think is going to happen to this? Now, this is big. This is a big ball. It's pretty heavy, too, but it's big. What do you think is going to happen? Sink or float?
Float.
What do y'all think? All right. Let's see what happens.
It floats.
It floats. All right. Thank y'all. Y'all give Noah a round of applause. So he didn't know anything about Archimedes. He didn't know anything about Archimedes' principle. That's what his principle of hydrostatics is just known today. It's just called Archimedes' principle. He didn't know anything about it. Most of y'all probably don't know anything about it, yet you know how it works. You know what sinks and floats. His principle is also sometimes called the principle of buoyancy because it is the principle that tells you if something is going to sink or float. Now, Archimedes didn't invent this. This really isn't Archimedes' principle, is it? It's God's principle. God put this principle into the workings of the universe long before Archimedes ever lived. You know, you want to know how we know that principle had been around before Archimedes? Because we've found boats that are older than Archimedes. Archimedes got on a boat to go study at a library before anybody had ever discovered this principle. They were making boats float. We happen to know a guy in the Bible by the name of Noah who built a boat, a really big boat. And when the rain came, what did that boat do? It floated. Now, Noah didn't know Archimedes' principle. He couldn't explain the principle of hydrostatics to you or the principles of buoyancy. He couldn't explain what made it float, but he was still able to build a boat that would float, right? So here's what I'm trying to get at, because some of you, we've been doing this series called The Path, and the biggest objections I've been getting, people are writing in, texting in, calling me, stopping me in Walmart, coming over to visit with me when I'm eating lunch or whatever, and here's what I'm hearing from a lot of people. A lot of people are saying, you know, hey, I think all this stuff is really good. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I just don't think it works anymore. I don't think it works in our world. I don't think it works in our culture. Some have said, Pastor, listen, religion is not about rules. You're talking to us about all these rules. Religion is about relationship, and I would agree with that. And they'll go on and say, I have a relationship with Jesus, so I don't need all these rules you're talking about. And so what I'm trying to tell you today through this is this. We're not talking about rules. If you think we've been talking about rules, you've missed the point. We're talking about principles. The principle of the path, not the rules of the path. The principle of the path, because principles are different than rules. Rules can be broken. Principles cannot. A principle is at work whether you believe it or not. If you get on a cruise ship, let's just say the Icon of the Seas, the biggest one ever built, you can go out on your balcony on that massive ship floating across an ocean, and you can take a pebble, less than 0.1 ounces, and you can throw it off your balcony, and it's going to sink to the bottom whether you believe it's going to or not. Because it's a principle. Gravity is a principle. You don't have to believe in gravity for it to work. You don't have to be able to explain gravity for it to work. You jump off the roof of your house, it's just going to work. You can believe you're going to fly all you want, but gravity is going to work whether you want it to or not. I remember when my little boy Peter, he was real little, and his bed was on the far side of the room. He'll probably kill me for telling this story. He was probably 4 years old. And we just hear this cry come from his room. And so we jump up, we spring over there, and we go in, and he's laying in the middle of the floor, and he's laying there, and he's crying. He's hurt. We finally say, what happened? What'd you do? And he said, I was trying to fly like Superman from my bed to my closet, and I didn't quite make it. And we said, son, you're not Superman. You can't fly. And he said, but I sure thought I could, Daddy. You can think you can, but there's a principle at work. You can break a rule, but you can't break a principle, at least not without consequences. You can break Archimedes' principle when you're building your next cruise ship or your next boat, but if you do, it's going to sink to the bottom of the ocean because it's a principle. See, what I'm trying to tell you is you don't have to believe these things. These things still work. You don't have to accept these things as truth, but they're still truth. You don't have to believe that that rock's going to go to the bottom, but whether you believe it or not, it's going to go to the bottom. I also want you to understand that just like Archimedes didn't invent this principle was at work all around people long before Archimedes, he just learned how to tap into it. He learned how to explain it. And because he was able to tap into it and explain it, we can now build ships that weigh over 250,000 tons because we're leveraging a principle that he discovered. And what I'm trying to get you to understand spiritually is this: if you will tap into these principles and leverage them in your life, they are going to work and they are going to allow you to do greater things than you can currently do. They're going to allow you to go places and do things and experience God in ways you're not experiencing God right now, but you've got to tap into the principles. Some of you may not believe it, but whether you believe it or not, it's going to work. There's really just one thing I need you to understand today and next week as we're talking about some of these big principles in Scripture, and that is this. You've got to understand that understanding and obeying God's principles is going to produce blessings in your life. When you understand and you obey, those two things have to go hand in hand. You can understand Archimedes' principle, but if you don't obey it, what's going to happen? You're going to sink. So you've got to understand it, and then you've got to obey it. If you do those two things with God's principles, it's going to produce blessings in your life. Now, in the same way, if you do the opposite, if you violate God's principles, if you ignore God's principles, or if you otherwise just disobey God's principles, in any area of your life where God has put these principles in place, it's going to produce something different than blessing. It's going to produce pain. It's going to produce hardship. It's going to produce tragedy. It's going to produce something you don't want to happen. Because whether you believe it or not, the principle is already there and the principle is already at work. So today I want to talk to you about two principles that we find in God's word. And there are many, there's so many we could talk about. But I really want to talk about these principles because these are principles that are kind of guardrails for us on the path that God wants us to walk in life. And if we obey these principles, if we understand these principles, there's blessing in store for us. The first one is this. It's called the principle of the harvest. The principle of the harvest. There's so much we could say about this principle and really all the principles we're going to talk about this week and next week. But, I mean, they could be their own sermon series, in fact. But my goal is just to kind of introduce you to them and hopefully you can see the principle at work and perhaps even dare to obey the principle and follow the principle and see what happens. Because I know that understanding and obeying God's principles is going to produce blessings in your life. The concept of the harvest is very popular in the Bible. It's a very popular biblical illustration. It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus mentions and uses this principle a lot, and I think there's a good reason for that. During the biblical times, most people were agricultural people. This was a very easy principle for people to see and to know and to experience. Now, some of you, many of you in our church, make your living from agriculture. You plant things or you grow things or you take care of animals. You make your living from it, and so it's easy for you to understand. But I promise you this, even if you don't have a green thumb, even if you're one of those people who plant something and it never grows, or you plant something and it grows for a little while and then you kill it, you're a plant murderer. Some of you are. You murder those plants, poor things. But even if you're one of those people, you, like Noah, who didn't understand Archimedes' principle, couldn't explain it, you still know the principle of the harvest. You can still see it. You're still going to be able to tell me if it's going to sink or it's going to float. The principle outlined in the Bible comes in many different forms and many different ways. I want to share just a few of them with you really quick. One of the ways it's talked about is when it comes to biblical generosity. It's not just used when we're talking about tithing or giving money to the church either. If you'll look with me in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 through 10, for example, it says this: when you reap the harvest of your land, you are not to reap, you're not to harvest the very edge of your field or to gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not strip your vineyard bare or gather its fallen grapes. He says, leave them for the poor and the resident alien. I am the Lord your God. So God gives this command here to his people in the Old Testament. He says, when you harvest, when you go out to the field to get the harvest, he says, don't harvest everything. Leave a little bit out on the edges. Leave a little bit on the vine so that poor people can come behind, the people who don't have enough, the people who don't have anything, can come behind and they'll have something. They'll have a little bit. They'll have something to eat. He's saying be generous with your harvest. I remember being 15, because when I was 15, I was really poor. If you were poor when you were 15, say amen. The rest of y'all rich people, sorry people. You're rich at 15. My goodness. I was poor at 15. I mean, really poor. I didn't have nothing. I had to depend on my parents for everything. Bad place to be. Hope I'm never there again. Glad they're still alive, just in case, though. But I was poor at 15. And when I was 15, my cousin Jay called me one day. He didn't call me on the phone. We didn't have those when I was 15. He called me like this. Hey, Peter, come here. That's how we used to call people. And so I went over and I was talking to Jay and he said, hey, I got a good idea. My buddy, he had a buddy. Jay's a year older than me. He's 16, just got his driver's license. And his buddy, his dad planted watermelons, hundreds of acres of watermelons and cantaloupes. And he said, my buddy's dad said, we can go and pick all the watermelons and cantaloupes we want. We can sell them. We can make some money. I thought that was a pretty good plan. So we went and asked my dad and his dad if we could have a couple days to go do that. It's the middle of summer. They said, sure, go do it. And so we got the biggest trailer we thought we could pull with a truck. And we hooked it up and we put bumper boards on the sides of it. And we went out there and we picked watermelons and cantaloupes all afternoon one day. Because see, what had happened was this man had planted hundreds of acres and the harvest crew had come through and they had harvested that field once. They had harvested that field twice. They had come back through it a third time. And there just wasn't enough left to justify keeping them all there, keeping the crew there. But there's a lot of leftovers still there. And so his dad, being generous, just said, y'all go do whatever you want with them. So we went, we picked a whole flatbed trailer full of watermelons and cantaloupes. We got up at 3:30 the next morning, and we drove to San Antonio, the farmer's market. And I tell you, everybody at the farmer's market hated us. Because if they had $4 a melon on their sign, we put $3.50. And if they got tired of everybody buying their melons from us, and they went down to $3.50, we put $3.25. And if they went to 325, we went to 3 even. If they went to 3 even, we went to 250. We didn't care. We just wanted to sell those melons and go get another trailer load, right? Because we didn't have anything in them. We hadn't paid for the water. We hadn't paid for the seed. We hadn't paid for the fertilizer. We hadn't paid for the tractor that planted them. All we had paid for was our labor, which when I was 15 was worth virtually nothing. And I remember at the end of that first day, which was like 10 o'clock in the morning, we were sold out. We were coming back and we were counting all that money and we divided it up amongst the three of us. And I was holding $1,000 in my hand and I thought I was rich. I mean, I was like, woo, I just won the Mega Billions or whatever it's called. You know, I thought, wow, life don't get no better than this. And so we went and did it another day and another day and another day until there were just no more watermelons left. And some summers we'd catch a rain shower and that would last even longer. And we'd just sell those melons until they were just all gone. I paid for a couple of semesters of college with that money because I didn't party it away. I didn't waste it. I didn't go buy a bunch of stuff with it. I tucked it away in my bank account. And see, that was all from the generosity of somebody who said, you can have the edge of my field. You can have what's left. Better than it rotten. It's better than it just staying here. It's better than coyotes eating. Go get you some of it, right? That's a principle of the harvest at work. It was a blessing for my life. It was a blessing for his life. And I believe a blessing God will honor and credit to his account. It can be simple like that. The principle of the harvest is also used in scripture to outline not generosity to others, but our generosity to the Lord as well. I'm not going to beat this drum real hard. I'm not going to beat on it too long because you've heard about it already. But look at Proverbs 3:9, for example. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. This is the principle of the harvest. He says, then your barns will be completely filled and your vats will overflow with new wine. What did I tell you a minute ago? If you tap into God's principles, if you understand them and obey them, what happens? It produces blessings. Full barns are a blessing. Full vats are a blessing. Paul said it like this to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. The point is this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap or harvest sparingly. The person who sows generously will also reap or harvest generously. In other words, the more you plant, the more you're going to harvest. It's a principle of the harvest. Each person should do as he's decided in his heart. Hold on to that for a second. We're going to come back to it. Not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. Now, how can God say this in verse 7? I mean, this doesn't sound like something he's twisting our arm to do. He says each person can do as he's decided in his heart to do, not reluctantly or out of compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. See, God can say that because God knows what's going to happen. God understands his own principle of the harvest. He understands that you're going to get what you deserve.
The message you heard today was just one from a series that's sure to bring you to a place of thinking and processing what you listen to. As Pastor Pete taught through the Bible in a meaningful way, what are some things that you noticed or that you gained like never before? Would you let us know? You can get in touch with Pastor Pete by going to onetoanotherradio.org and selecting the About tab. From there, click on Contact and send him a quick note of what you're learning from the Bible and what God's teaching you from these messages. Another way to connect with One to Another is in our podcast format. Gwen has more on that.
Does your lifestyle work best by listening to teachings through a podcast? It's no wonder, because then you don't have to worry about missing a single episode. Subscribing to the podcast allows you to go back and listen to past shows, as well as listen to a teaching again that really hit you in a personal way. Podcasts are also really easy to share with others, like friends or family, coworkers, or neighborhood acquaintances. There are easy opportunities to share the good news of Jesus with those you're around and for lives to be changed by the truth of God and His Word. So search in your favorite podcast platform and find One to Another Radio. Simply hit the follow or subscribe button and you're good to go. If you'd like to find out more info about the podcast or any other resources available to you, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Here's Phil as he wraps things up for us today.
Thanks for that information, Gwen. We've been excited to see the interest that our listeners have taken in this radio program. If you'd like for us to continue staying on the air, we'd love to have your continued support in prayer as well as in a financial way to further the ministry that's happening. Just go to onetoanotherradio.org to learn more about how to give. And if you're a first-time supporter this month, we'll send you a free gift. That's onetoanotherradio.org and find the Donate tab. If you'd like to get in touch with us over the phone, we'd be happy to talk to you. Our number is 830-769-3733. That number one more time is 830-769-3733. We're looking forward to what Pastor Pete plans to share with us next time as we continue on in this series. Come join us and be encouraged by what God's doing in your heart and life. We'll continue on this path that God's leading us on next time on One to Another.